you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, a weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
Now, I know a lot of you are going to strongly disagree with the statement I'm about to make, but I really enjoyed that little cold snap we had last week. I'm also sure you've heard me say I'm a proud native Texan. I've lived in Texas most of my life. But I've kind of learned to appreciate the cold weather while we've got it. Because it won't be long before it's 85 to 95 degrees every day, and the humidity will be high enough to make concrete sweat. And yeah, I get cold sometimes, especially now that I'm older, and my circulation is not as good as it used to be. But there's going to be plenty of time to get warm during the 8 months of summer that are only a few weeks away. So I find I embrace the cold temperatures while I can. Besides, it warmed up for the weekend, just like it did last weekend. And my fingers will thaw out eventually, you know, June or July. So no sweat. See what I did there? No sweat? Yeah, okay. Now, I even embarrassed myself a little bit that time. Sorry. No, I actually enjoy bundling up in the cold. Now, so long as it's what I call Texas cold, not frozen North cold. You know what I mean? Go Packers, go Green Bay Packers, that kind of stuff. What was it I saw the other day? It was International Falls, Minnesota. They had 37 degrees below zero a few weeks ago, and that was a new record. 32 degrees below zero was the previous low, and that was in 1924, for crying out loud. That's so cold, you can take a bucket of hot water outside, throw it up in the air, and it'll turn into ice before it hits the ground. Have you seen that YouTube video? That's inhuman cold. I mean, I can handle 25 degrees overnight and then a high around freezing during the day, but 37 degrees below zero? Whew, that's ridiculous. And late last year, Erie, Pennsylvania had more than 65 inches of snow in less than 4 days. One family said it took them nearly 3 hours just to clear the driveway enough to go to the store. I'm not sure how people survive in those kinds of conditions. And I guess, sadly, in some cases, people don't survive, that is. I know a lot of Houstonians are concerned about our growing homeless population these days, but one of the reasons why there are so many street people here is because we don't have weather like Erie, Pennsylvania, or International Falls, Minnesota. I worked with the homeless in a soup kitchen. It was down near Minute Maid Park, 20 years or so. It's called Loaves and Fishes, you know, like the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish that Jesus used to feed the 5,000 in the Bible. Now, something you might not have thought about with regard to that story. According to some biblical scholars, when the Bible says 5,000, it almost undoubtedly referred to 5,000 men, because that's how they counted crowds back then. Yes, it's misogynist, but it's historically accurate. Because back in New Testament times, women and children just weren't as important as men, so they weren't counted as part of the crowd. So when you put that in perspective, all those men probably brought their families. So Jesus actually fed more like 15,000 with those 5 loaves and 2 fish, and that just makes the story all the more miraculous. At any rate, whenever we have a cold snap like we did last week, I always think about my friends in the homeless community and say a little extra prayer for them. You know, there might be a topic in there somewhere that we could use on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, don't you think? You know, feeding the homeless, something like that. We could always talk to my old radio buddy, Scott Arthur. He's a PR guy at the Star of Hope now. I interviewed him around Christmas time a couple of years ago on the Sam Malone Show. And we could probably talk to Sister Rosemary over at Loaves and Fishes, too, if she's even still in charge of that place after all these years. She was the one who said to me, "I want to give you a face for the poor." You know, at first when she said that, I thought she was just talking about me getting to know some of the homeless people who eat at Loaves and Fishes every day. But after I'd worked there for a few weeks, I realized she was referring to something much deeper than that. She was trying to make me realize that homeless people are just like you and me. As the old saying goes, there but for the grace of God go I. I mean, any of us could fall on hard times and find ourselves out on the street, living hand to mouth. And Sister Rosemary wanted me, and you, and everyone, to understand how easily that can happen to anyone. She wanted all of us to get to know homeless people for what they really are. Just people. Down on their luck. Yeah, addicted to drugs in some cases, whatever. But still, at the heart and soul of it all, they're just people. And when I befriended some of those people who ate at Loaves and Fishes every day, I realized that a lot of them were extremely well-educated. They were responsible folks. They just needed some help. So let's jot that down somewhere, shall we? I'm talking to the crew. Let's do a show on feeding the homeless. And maybe in the process, it'll inspire some of you to get involved in programs like Loaves and Fishes or the Star of Hope. I can guarantee you one thing. If you do, you'll get much more back from it than you ever put into it. It's a very revealing process and rewarding. Well, feeding people, be they homeless or in your home, is what the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show is all about. So let's get to it, shall we? Today's show is called Upping Your Game. No, I'm not going to launch off into a segment about football, though I would love to talk about the Super Bowl. No, we're going to be talking about upping your cooking game. After that cold snap this past week, I thought about calling it Turning Up the Heat, but I was a little afraid I'd burn the meat again. So I decided to go with Upping Your Game instead. And Lord knows I need to up my game. I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to kind of lean on the same old recipes, same old dishes over and over again. You know, burgers and steaks, chicken or seafood. Now, my wife Cindy loves turkey sausage. I'll grill the turkey sausage up there, go with her beans and red potatoes. But I mean, how challenging can turkey sausage be? Or brats or hot links, whatever they are. All you do is just throw a little salt and pepper on them and toss them on the grill for 10 minutes. I used to split open the skin because I put them over high heat. But then I upped my game. I tried a new technique I found online. What you do is you get the grill red hot all over. Now envision this. Then you turn off the burners on one side or the other and offset the sausage away from the heat on the side where you just turned off the burners. That's 5 to 7 minutes like that. Then you turn the burners on the cold side, turn off the burners on the hot side, and switch the sausage over to the side where you've just turned the fire off. That way, the red-hot grill is cooking the sausage without splitting open the skin. And if you want to, you can just put the sausage on the red-hot part of the grill for 2 or 3 minutes, no more, right before you plate them, and that'll make sure that they're cooked well all the way through. I know professional chefs will probably laugh at me for that technique, but hey, it works for me, so I'm going to run with it. But be honest now, I'm not the only one who needs a little upping your game, now am I? So we're going to enlist the advice of two experts, professionals, if you will, to help us out today. First up is going to be a young woman who teaches cooking skills for a living. And she's from down near New Orleans, so you know she's a good cook. As Jim Bob Jumpback used to say back in my days on the Hudson and Harrigan Show, a Cajun will deep fat fry a rock and a Texan will eat it. Yeah, I know it's supposed to be a joke and all, but candidly, it's the bedrock of my entire marriage. Because like I've told you before, when I was a young man, I moved to Louisiana to work on the radio for a few years, and I brought back the prettiest girl I could find. Lucky for me, she also had a mother who taught her how to cook. So I guess I'm one of those Texans who will eat a Cajun deep fat fried rock, huh? And then our second expert is an old friend and a native Texan like me, Jared Poffenberger of Belleville Meat Market. Now, I hear you. You're saying, how is the owner of a butcher shop going to help me up my game? Well, just let me say this. First of all, Belleville Meat Market is the best butcher shop in the state of Texas, and they also operate one of the biggest and most impressive smokehouses you have ever seen in your life. So Jared knows what he's talking about. So grab another cup of coffee, and let's talk about upping your game. Your cooking game, that is. Because around here, cooking is not a game to be trifled with, my friend. And not to mention the fact, we can make up our own rules, can't we?
If your barbecue's gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
Does the cell phone connectivity in your office stink? Do you routinely miss calls? Lots of buildings have dead zones, and that means garbled or dropped calls, but not anymore. Texas Cell Phone Boosters provides FCC-approved cell phone booster systems that can make dead zones a thing of the past. These are not rinky-dink systems from big box stores. These are commercial-grade booster systems that cover tens of thousands of square feet. And Texas Cell Phone Boosters will specifically engineer and install a system in your office or warehouse. If you drive or regularly work in remote locations, Texas Cell Phone Boosters can help you boost a weak signal from a tower a long way off. So don't miss calls from potential customers any longer. Call the pros at Texas Cell Phone Boosters, 832-551-1000. That's 832-551-1000. Or go to texascellphoneboosters.com.
Randy Hames for the Poffenberger family at Belleville Meat Market. If you're planning to cook competitively in the World's Championship Barbecue Contest at the rodeo this year, you need to talk to Belleville Meat Market about using their pecan smoked sausage. Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage. That means you'll be able to taste the quality of Belleville Meat Market sausage when it's side-by-side with any other brand. And so will the cook-off judges. Belleville Meat Market can easily handle large orders, and they'll even have it ready for you to pick up, saving you time. Belleville Meat Market makes 28 incredible flavors of pecan smoked sausage, and they're all worthy of that first-place prize. So if your cooking team wants to score big at this year's World's Championship Barbecue Contest, be sure you get all your sausage at Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hams.
We are very happy to host Celeste Terrell, who is the co-owner of Well Done Cooking Classes. Welcome, Celeste.
Thank you. This is a pleasure.
Well, first of all, tell us where you're from, where you grew up, how you got into the food preparation business, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, well, I was born in New Orleans in Louisiana. When I was 4, my parents moved me to a small town 50 miles west of there called Houma. So it's a really small little town, but a lot of people are familiar with it thanks to two things, being in the oil business or possibly watching the TV show Swamp People. So I joke, yeah, I grew up somewhere where you actually have to have subtitles to understand what everybody says.
Well, now I understand completely, Celeste, because my wife was born and reared in the opposite corner of Louisiana, in Shreveport. So I'm very familiar with all of that. Now, we understand that you started in the restaurant business at a pretty young age.
Yes.
See and Suds in Alabama. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so when I was a senior in high school, my parents moved me to Alabama. So I started working in this little seafood shack that's kind of famous, that's been there for about as long as probably I've been alive, so I won't say exactly how long that's been, but it's been there for a very long time, and it was like a family favorite, and I'd always dreamed as a little kid I wanted to work there, and so finally when I got old enough, I did. So I started off, you know, just like doing basic busing and hosting and working around there, but it was such a lax, easy, comfortable environment. It was easy to be in and around the kitchen and just seeing everything and getting to shuck oysters. And so I just loved it. So that was my first taste of working in the restaurant business.
But then you went to Auburn and got a degree in finance?
Yeah, I did. I wound up going to school there and started off in engineering, couldn't quite hack it, so the next best thing was finance. So that opened up a lot of doors for me, and I worked as a broker, stock broker for a while. I then got a chance to move to Boston, but there was just something about it. I don't know, even when I was at Auburn, I got pretty lonely and didn't really know a whole lot of folks since I was originally from Louisiana, so I decided the best way to get to meet people was to simply just kind of start cooking and inviting people over, and so that worked. That made me pretty popular, and I got to meet a lot of people just by cooking and inviting them over.
So while you're in Boston, you suddenly decide you're going to branch out, and you go to the Cambridge School of Culinary Arts, right?
Yes, correct. Yes, I did. I approached my bosses and said, you know, this has always been my dream. I almost quit going to school and, you know, starting to go to culinary school. I got talked out of it once, but I'm not going to get talked out of it again. So I quit my job and, went to school at the Cambridge School of Culinary Arts, and it was perfect for me. So it was a nice, good program. It had a long, nice history. Boston is home of some of the original culinary schools with Fanny Farmer and things like that, starting those things back in the mid-1800s. And so they have a long history of having, good schools there, and they were something that I could really live up to. And then being not too far from where Julia Child did her television program and she and had her home and things like that, it was definitely a foodie area, a great place to learn from.
But how in the world did you wind up at the Park Hotel in France?
Well, I, after I graduated from the culinary school, I worked for a local French restaurant. So I got a taste of working for that. And then I also had a good friend of mine who lived in France, and they, you know, it's just like in Louisiana, the politics, you know, it's all about connections. So
yeah.
I met someone who knew someone, and then so they were looking for somebody to work there, and I was like, perfect. This is a great way for me to get a chance to get in there and learn something from some really great people. And so it was a 4-star hotel, and it was in the Alps region of France. So it was the third largest city in France is where I was. It was called Grenoble. So it wasn't too far from Lyon, which is really the food capital of France. And so being able to work there, I got a chance to really learn from some people who've worked for some famous people like Paul Bocuse, who just recently passed away, and so many other masters that are in the area, especially being so close to Lyon. So I credit that as basically giving me a taste of learning so many things. Not only did I learn about French food, being close to the Alps, we learned a lot about Northern Italian. I made more friends and connections and people who were in London and got to know people who were Pakistani. So I learned more about Indian food. It was just like one thing led to another by being over there and getting these connections and things like that. So I would have to say it was just a good thing of being in the right place at the right time and everybody being so welcoming. It's like in France, when they find out that you're a chef, they all want to invite you over and cook for you. That's a terrible problem, you know.
But eventually you wound up going back to Boston and opening Olives and Herbs. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so when I went back to Boston, I took all my experiences that I got together, and being in an international city, I was like, okay, now I know a lot of cuisines. I feel like I could help a lot of people and work for different folks. And so it was for a combination of families, busy professionals, some entertainers and things like that, that I got to work and cook for, and basically helping them out with their meals or going in somewhere and just making some kind of an elaborate catered event for guests that they were having. So that was great. But basically my folks were calling me back down south. My parents were getting elderly and needed some help, you know, as far as taking care of them and things like that. So my siblings and I were like, well, let's have you come back and stop being Miss International and have you come and help us out. So that's why I wound up back in Houston, Texas in 2006.
So we understand you actually started teaching cooking long before you actually established well-done cooking classes.
Right.
In a community college and in private homes. Tell us about that experience.
Yeah, so while I was in Boston helping out my clients and things like that and cooking for them, sometimes they would have parties and they would find out I was from Louisiana, and that just made me extremely exotic.
Oh, me, my, yes.
Yes, yes. So they were like, do you know how to make that gumbo? Or what is these things that, you know, with crawfish and stuff, which, by the way, it's really hard to get crawfish up there. But I was definitely able to cook up some different Cajun specialties. And so by doing that, I was teaching them. And so I did that for them. And then I also taught in some local community centers in the area just because I found out that it was kind of fun. It was just something different. And people seemed to like the way I was teaching and stuff. So that was the first bug.
So did that experience inspire you to open up Well Done Cooking classes?
It definitely helped. I mean, we had essentially whenever I met my partner, she wanted to do a combination of kids classes and tutoring things and music lessons, all kinds of sort of different stuff. And so when I told her I could help her, I said, the only things that I know how to do are, one, I can teach accounting. Two, I can teach someone how to play guitar and sing. And three, I can kind of teach them how to cook. And the cooking went out of everything. So.
Well, tell us about Catherine. Catherine Herod, that's your partner in the business, right?
Correct, yes. She had just graduated from University of Texas. She had this crazy background of she was pre-med, so she had all these chemistry classes. So she kind of didn't know what she wanted to do, but she was really good at tutoring children and teaching them different things. And so whenever we met and started the business together, I essentially started doing more of the cooking stuff. And then we wound up doing a class for some ladies up in Northampton Garden Club in up near Woodlands. So essentially we showed up and they were really happy to see us and at 8 a.m. And so it was quite early for us. And then they greeted us and said, okay, ladies, would you like a chocolate martini at 8 a.m.? And I thought, wow, maybe this is something we should be doing more often.
Well, I can see where this is headed.
Yeah. So the cooking classes definitely won out. So we took a gamble. And so Catherine, you know, after a while, we started the business and in an apartment because, well, it was right around the time when the recession was kicking in. And with my finance background, I knew rule number one, don't spend money unless you have to. And so we thought, if we have the website that can attract people and looks good and people can find us and they can book online and then they come and they don't get creeped out by the fact that we're going to start doing this business from an apartment, then we've got something. And sure enough, that's what happened.
That's what happened. Well done, cooking classes. So we'll talk about that some more in the next segment. All right, Celeste?
Yes, indeed.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. Randy will be right back with more smoking hot tips for you and your old flame right after this short break.
Randy Hames is my name, but many of you know me better as half of one of Houston's most iconic early morning comedy radio shows, The Hudson and Harrigan Show. Now, I'm no longer Irv Harrigan, but I've written a book about the show that I think you'll love. Fred Olson and I hosted the show for almost 30 years, and we enjoyed unbelievable rating success and won numerous awards. But the best part was, we were just having fun. Listeners told us they laughed all the way to work every day, too, with characters such as Jim Bob Jumpback, The Story Guy, and Tyrone, plus dozens of others. Houston's morning show recreates some of those hilarious on-air moments and gives you a unique behind-the-scenes peek at even funnier off-air events. Plus, I've carefully chronicled an accurate history of the show and how it evolved. Houston's Morning Show. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or as an audiobook on iTunes. Get your copy of Houston's Morning Show today and join the fun. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
If you're in the energy industry and want to drive down costs, it's time to automate. NuStar Energy Services provides automation solutions for pipelines, independent producers, and any company in the exploration and production sector. Still sending someone out in a pickup to read the flow computer on your well? For about a buck a day, NuStar can collect all the data remotely so you can monitor everything on a customized web portal. Heck, you can't even buy a gallon of gas for a truck for a buck. How about the levels on your tanks at the well site? For about a buck a day, NuStar can set up remote monitoring so you can see the level in real time and even turn pumps on or off remotely. And remember, NuStar's remote monitoring packages start at about a buck a day. So call NuStar Energy Services today and improve your bottom line. 832-917-1200. That's 832-917-1200. Or NuStarInc.com.
Randy Hames for the Poffenberger family at Belleville Meat Market. If you're planning to cook competitively in the World's Championship Barbecue Contest at the rodeo this year, you need to talk to Belleville Meat Market about using their pecan smoked sausage. Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage. That means you'll be able to taste the quality of Belleville Meat Market sausage when it's side by side with any other brand. And so will the cook-off judges. Belleville Meat Market can easily handle large orders, and they'll even have it ready for you to pick up, saving you time. Belleville Meat Market makes 28 incredible flavors of pecan smoked sausage, and they're all worthy of that first place prize. So if your cooking team wants to score big at this year's World's Championship Barbecue Contest, be sure you get all your sausage at Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
We're back with Celeste Terrell, who co-owns Well Done Cooking Classes. They offer a wide variety of instructional sessions. So let's talk about more specifics now about upping your game, Celeste.
Okay.
I understand that you guys have been on the Food Network, TLC, some local TV. Start out by telling us, is cooking on television a challenge?
Oh my gosh, it is definitely a challenge.
How so?
They edit out a lot of things, but you know, especially some of those places where they have timed cooking, those are actual times that they stick to.
Wow. So when you demonstrate a recipe on TV, do you have all the ingredients ready to mix in, or
Yes. Or
do you show the viewers how to chop and dice and all that other stuff?
So I believe now, more or less, whenever you do things on TV, they really want you just to focus on explaining what it is that is going on in it, not so much about showing how to chop something, how to dice, or even naming off all the ingredients. They really, really want you to just tell everyone exactly what it is that you're doing and why you're doing the cooking that you're doing. So it's much more focused on things like that.
The Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show is focused on educating our audience in new techniques. So give us a few tips and tricks for food preparation that most of us at-home chefs don't even think about.
Well, the two most important things I always tell my students is that people usually don't brown their foods long enough. That's number one. And number two, they usually don't use enough salt and pepper.
Really?
Yeah. So if you just simply brown a little longer than you think you need to, that you've done it, and make sure that you get your seasoning done real well, you know, where I like to always see like flecks of black pepper on my food. So that's a little bit of the Cajun background, but also Italian. They love that the same way. So if you can do those two things, your food's going to taste better than probably 80% of everybody else.
Generally speaking, Celeste, what are a few of the biggest mistakes that we beginners make?
It's definitely not using a high enough heat
whenever
they are browning things. Especially so when it comes to searing off anything like a steak or a chicken, they don't use a high enough heat. That's number one. Number two, you always want to make sure you dry off your meat really well. You want to get all of the moisture off the surface. Because one of the things that you're doing when you're browning your foods, in which I say, you know, people just don't seem to brown their foods long enough, you have to remove that moisture because there's a couple things that are going on. And all you need to remember is this one little thing. High heat plus fat equals yum.
So are you suggesting that, for instance, if I were doing, say, pork chops on the grill,
okay, that
nice glaze of moisture on the top of the pork chop, should I just take a paper towel and dab the pork chop and get that extra moisture off before I cook?
Exactly.
Cool.
Yeah. What you want to do is you want to get rid of water and the moisture off the surface and coat it with either oil or butter or some kind of fat that completely coats the surface. I mean, we all know that oil and water do not mix. So if you have water that's on that surface, it's going to keep the oil or the fat from completely coating that surface. And so you've got to remove that moisture, get that fat to completely coat the surface so that the moment that it touches the heat, the reaction is going to happen where that high heat gets the oil and the carbohydrates that are on the surface to react with each other, to basically turn into a sugar. That's why foods brown like they do. So you really, really want to make sure that by removing that moisture and getting that off, then you're going to ensure that you're getting the browning that you want to do. And of course, rule number one is flip once, because the more times you flip it, the longer it's going to take it to cook. Because remember, in the equation, you need high heat. So we've got the fat part down, but if you keep flipping it before it has had a time to finish browning, you're going to lower the heat, and then when you flip it back over, you have to wait again for the heat to come back up.
So, don't tell me that, Celeste. It's so hard for me. I want to play with the food so much. So how do you gauge when it's ready?
Well, first you go off, and you can get yourself a beer, or you can also put other things on the grill, or it's a time for you to chop something up. You know, you're going to have a certain amount of time. But the best way to know always is you've got a couple things. Color, the color of the meat is going to start to transition. So like if it's steak, it starts to turn gray. It'll get almost halfway up the sides. And if it's chicken, it'll turn more white, pork more white. And the other final thing is right there on the bottom, on the very, very surface, always around the rim, is when you get that beautiful caramel brown color. And when you start to see that all the way around, that's your sign. And then I tell everybody else, if it smells like it's burning, it is. It's time to flip.
So no thermometer, no timer. It's all sight and smell, huh?
It's all sight, smell. Yeah, you can just kind of see it. And I mean, and if you slide your tongs underneath the meat, there will be a certain amount of resistance where it will, not resistance, I shouldn't say, but the meat will be more firm. Whereas when it's not ready, it tends to kind of flop. You need it to have a little bit more firmness and texture so that when you can slide your tongs underneath, it's going to feel firm and ready for you to flip it. So that's another way for you to know.
Now, one of the techniques we hear more and more chefs talking about is grilling something over an open flame or maybe pan searing it and then finishing it in the oven. You do realize serious meat smokers consider that cheating. Do you recommend that approach?
Well, you know, it depends on what you're doing. So I'm a firm believer in cast iron pans, but I used to work at a steakhouse. I worked at Perry's Steakhouse prior to starting the cooking school. You know, of course, yes, we always would sear off our meats and then finish them off in the oven. And the practice of that was because of the fact that you couldn't transition the heat on a grill too much. You didn't want to keep constantly turning it up and then turning it down. And so it was a great way to finish the steak by putting it in the oven so that it would kind of finish off in there. But when you're at home, and here in Houston, in the middle of the summer, if you take your pan and you put it inside an oven, that means you've had to turn on an oven and generate all kinds of heat. And an oven is what I call sort of a dry environment. It kind of sucks all the moisture out of your meat when you put it in there. That's just kind of the nature of what an oven does. Or if you put it on the colder side of your grill, sometimes there's still a heat that's on the opposite side that might do that. So one thing that sometimes I like to transition to do is either you can wrap it up like some people will do with some foil, or if I'm doing it on the stovetop, I simply just put a lid on top of my pan and turn the heat down to medium low.
Ah.
And so then it transitions to steaming. It makes it so much more moist and delicious.
There are so many classes to talk about at Well Done Cooking Classes. We just don't have the time to talk about them all. But this week you're doing a couple. It's risottos, grains, and potatoes.
Yes.
And then Pub Classics beer tasting. Tell us about those two real quickly.
Yeah, so the risottos class is part of our culinary certificate series. We do 20 different courses that are all about the fundamentals of cooking. So you learn about cooking techniques, all the things you would learn the first year of culinary school. So in that class, we focus on, you know, best practices on how to make risottos and how to have them done early and how to make different savory and sweet ones. Also, rice, believe it or not, I can't get over how hard it is for people to cook rice being from Louisiana, but it seems to be a mystery.
Not to my wife. No, she knows how to do that Cooney ice cream.
So, yeah, barring someone being Cajun, usually most people seem to have an issue when it comes to rice. And the same thing with potatoes. So we talk about also how to make the most perfect French fries and how to simply roast potatoes, boil potatoes, and what you're trying to do. But things you take for granted, but you don't realize sometimes, yeah, you may have been doing it for years, but just because you've been doing that for years doesn't mean you've been doing it right. And so that's what those kind of classes are. But the pub class we do in the evening, that's more of our date night series. A lot of people come, couples or friends. It's just a very social environment, and so we get to cook good food together. We're going to do a beer tasting so that you get to pair it with all the different items that we're going to have. So it's just a great way to have food, like I said, have a good time. Rather than just going out to eat, it's just something fun to do.
Oh, my goodness, we've run out of time. We didn't even get to sauces or side dishes or herbs or cooking tools or all those wonderful classes. Give us your website real quickly, Celeste.
Sure. It's welldonecc.com. So it's CC just like cooking classes. So welldonecc.com.
And people can sign up for the classes on the website?
Yes, sir.
This has been Celeste Terrell. She is the co-owner of Well Done Cooking Classes in the Heights. We've got to have you come back on and talk about your music. Okay, Celeste?
All right, we'll do that.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be right back with more food and fun after this break.
Randy Hames for the Poffenberger family at Belleville Meat Market. If you're planning to cook competitively in the World's Championship Barbecue Contest at the rodeo this year, you need to talk to Belleville Meat Market about using their pecan smoked sausage. Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage. That means you'll be able to taste the quality of Belleville Meat Market sausage when it's side by side with any other brand. And so will the cook-off judges. Belleville Meat Market can easily handle large orders, and they'll even have it ready for you to pick up, saving you time. Belleville Meat Market makes 28 incredible flavors of pecan smoked sausage, and they're all worthy of that first place prize. So if your cooking team wants to score big at this year's World's Championship Barbecue Contest, be sure you get all your sausage at Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com. Randy Hames is my name, but many of you know me better as half of one of Houston's most iconic early morning comedy radio shows, The Hudson and Harrigan Show. Now, I'm no longer Irv Harrigan, but I've written a book about the show that I think you'll love. Fred Olson and I hosted the show for almost 30 years, and we enjoyed unbelievable rating success and won numerous awards. But the best part was, we were just having fun. Listeners told us they laughed all the way to work every day, too, with characters such as Jim Bob Jumpback, The Story Guy, and Tyrone, plus dozens of others. Houston's morning show recreates some of those hilarious on-air moments and gives you a unique behind-the-scenes peek at even funnier off-air events. Plus, I've carefully chronicled an accurate history of the show and how it evolved. Houston's Morning Show. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or as an audiobook on iTunes. Get your copy of Houston's Morning Show today and join the fun. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dike Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dike Road at the base of the Texas City Dike.
May the forks be with you. This is the Boyd's Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the guy who turns all the grills on, Randy Hames.
We are always delighted to have one of our favorite meatheads on the show. It's Jared Poffenberger of Belleville Meat Market. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well this morning, Randy. How about yourself?
Doing well ourselves. We call Jared a meathead with all love and affection because he is a dear and close friend of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, dating all the way back to when I was on the Hudson and Harrigan Show for 30 years. And Jared's title is born out of his family's expertise in all things having to do with the flesh of animal consumed as food. So how are things going at the finest meat market in Texas, Jared?
Oh, Things are going well, Randy. We're wrapping up deer season here. At least we're kind of into the extended parts of the deer season, so we're seeing a lot of permit animals come through. So we're pretty busy with that on the retail side. We've got a lot of business there, too. All around, a pretty good time for us.
Well, I'm not a hunter, as I've told you before. The only thing I've successfully hunted down was a good parking place in Greenway Plaza. So how was hunting season this year with the hurricane and the cold weather and all?
You know, it was pretty good. We saw the quantity of deer right about where we like to see them for the season. We saw some really heavy bodies. And coming through the plant, we saw some nice sets of horns. So that all tells me that the nutrition was there for the animals, and which made for some positive experiences for the hunters out there.
Everybody always says you don't want to know how the sausage is made. But let me tell you, folks, at Belleville Meat Market, Jared and his brother Marcus, they take special pride in how the sausage is actually made. So describe the way you do that, Jared.
Sure. So since we're on the topic of deer processing, I'll just kind of explain briefly how the process works. So we are a state inspected facility, meaning we have a Texas Department of Health inspector in our plant. 5 days a week, we run both retail product, wholesale product, and custom product through our plant. So for that matter, we don't make our wild game product any different than we do our inspected product or our retail product. Everything is processed separately, meaning the deer or the meat that you bring us is going to be the meat that you get back. So all the way through the process, from the fresh processing, fresh packaging, the grinding, the stuffing of the sausage, smoking and packing, it's all done on an individual order-by-order basis.
Your meat, your way, right?
Absolutely. Over 80,000 different ways to make it here.
Today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show is focused on upping your game, improving your cooking skills, expanding your repertoire. Lord knows I need that. And Jared is the perfect guest for this subject because Belleville Meat Market has offered in-house smoked meat products for many years now. But didn't you guys expand your smokehouse a few years ago?
We sure did. Two summers ago, we began construction on our new processing facility, which is located directly behind our retail store. We added a few smokehouses and added quite a bit of capacity for us, as well as adding somewhat of a nicer service area for our custom processing customers, so they wouldn't have to have quite the same experience that they have at all other processors. Instead, they have more of a red carpet retail experience, but on the processing side of things.
Many of our at-home chefs love to smoke briskets and ribs and sausage and chicken and pork, even vegetables. I love to do vegetables on the grill. But a lot of us don't even know the basics of backyard smoking. So let's start there. I don't really have a smoker, per se. I have a natural gas grill. But that doesn't mean I can't smoke meat, right?
No, you're exactly right. I've used gas grills and I've used charcoal grills. I kind of get to about, I usually get to February at my house and I say, you know, is this going to be the summer of charcoal or the summer of gas? And I commit to it. And I learn a little bit every season on my back porch on how to use both of those different types of cooking.
Well, now, what do you think of these little smoker boxes? Rick Allspa up at Allspa's Ace Hardware in Kingwood was telling me about them. You take smaller amounts of wood, you put them in a metal box, and then you put the box inside a standard gas or a propane grill, and that creates that smoky flavor of an offset wood box in a standard slow cook smoker. What do you think of those things?
Well, the processor in me says I like it. It offers the griller a lot of control over the environment that he's cooking product on, and that is everything. In the commercial industry side of things, control, temperature, time control, that is everything so that you can make a consistent product. Now, put me at my house on the back porch with a grill, I'm not going to use one. That just I haven't wrapped my arms around the idea of automation at my house. I kind of enjoy the grilling and smoking process a little more naturally at my house, although it takes a little more time and a little more attention. I seem to hit my reset button during those times. So I don't know. Maybe let's just say I'm undecided at this point.
Well, Belleville Meat Market smokes large quantities of meat. The overwhelming majority of our backyard chefs, though, are cooking maybe one, maybe two briskets or pork loins or racks of rib, whatever, at a time. So what's your advice on how to achieve the best results?
Okay. Let me talk about a conventional smoker. So it's important to have the right temperature, cook for the right amount of time, and then finish the product well. Okay, we can talk about briskets in particular, since they're pretty common, pretty traditional in the South. Yeah, we see a lot of those being cooked. So with the brisket in particular, we prepare the brisket first. We do a dry rub here at the market with ours, and I use a dry rub at the house. I prepare the smoker with the smoke box, and I get the heat somewhere around 225 to 250 degrees. That's a temperature where you can smoke without really searing the outside of the product, but the proteins in the brisket itself will take up a lot of the smoke flavor at that temperature. If you go too high, the proteins start closing up and encapsulating, and they don't take on quite as much smoke, and you won't see quite the smoke ring in the product once you're finished.
Well, talk about the smoke ring for a minute, because we understand that's really important to judges.
Mm-hmm.
If they're cooking in the World's Championship Barbecue Contest, or even at home, you want that nice smoke ring. How do you achieve the smoke ring?
It's cooking at a low temperature. Like I said, anywhere at that 225 to 250 degrees, we haven't closed up the proteins that are taking on the smoke flavor, and we're allowing that smoke that's coming out of your smoke box to really penetrate deep into the brisket, allowing for that smoke ring and that deep smoked flavor.
Now, speaking of competitive cookers, the World's Championship Barbecue Contest is right around the corner out at the rodeo, and Belleville Meat Market is uniquely positioned to help out you contestants make the most of your opportunities. So talk about that for a minute. You said something to Greg Berlocker about a brisket's a brisket, ribs are ribs, but sausage is another animal.
You bet, you bet. Now, when it comes to these competitive cookers, I'm not going to agree with you that a brisket's a brisket and a rib's a rib, because these guys go through just a crazy amount of effort to select the perfect brisket or the perfect rack of ribs. There's certain things they're looking for, uniformity in the cuts so that it cooks well and it presents well to the judges. But you're right on the sausage. There's a bunch of different kinds. I mean, sausage traditionally is going to have a regional flavor to it. So, you know, where we're located in a German community, we see a lot of customers that prefer kind of a coarse ground product with some garlic flavor to it, some salt and pepper course in there, and then a mustard seed. That's what we typically make. In fact, that's the base for all of our smoked sausages that we make here at the Belleville Meat Market. And then from there, you can go all over the place. We add sweet chipotle flavoring to ours. We do a jalapeno cheese. Really, for as many cook-off teams as there are at the Houston Rodeo Cook-Off, there's about that many different varieties of sausage that can be made or that's desired.
This has been our good friend and sponsor for the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, Jared Poffenberger of Belleville Meat Market, the finest meat market in Texas. They're just 15 minutes south of Hempstead, 15 minutes north of Sealy, on Highway 36 in Belleville. What's your website, Jared?
Website's www.bellevillemeatmarket.com.
And if you competitive cookers really want to impress the judges at the World's Championship Barbecue Contest out at the rodeo this year, be sure you buy all your sausage at Belleville Meat Market. And if they call ahead, you can even have the order ready for them to pick up when they get there. Right, Jared?
That's right. We can have any quantity of product, vacuum-packed box up for you, ready to go into your cooler ready to prepare for the guests at these cook-off booths.
And what's the phone number?
All right, you can reach us at 979-865-5782. We're open Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and on Sundays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Thanks for your time, buddy. Say hello to the family.
All right, Randy, if you need anything else, give me a holler, okay? We appreciate everything.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
How's about cooking something else?